My brothers and sisters in Christ. And so on behalf of the leadership and pastoral team, we want to wish all mothers a blessed Mother's Day. We also want to thank the Joyful Voices for that lovely song, and many thanks also to the men's ministry for your prayer and for the gift. And so the question maybe is, what happens when maybe three or four doctors get together? Do you know what happens? Well, often we end up talking about, firstly, different aspects of medicine. And then after that, we proceed on to complain about patients and colleagues. And then usually ends up sharing war stories, you know, that sort of thing, which is probably one reason why my wife is not too keen to come with me for, you know, medical school gatherings and that sort of thing. Because she says we always invariably end up talking shop and leaving her behind. So, oops, right? Well, the story is told of four pastors who got together at some event. And so they started talking, but thankfully, unlike complaining about patients and colleagues, these four pastors started to discuss the merits of the various translations of the Bible. So the first one declared that the King James Version is the best because the old English that they used was just so beautiful. The second guy praised the New American Standard Version because he said the close proximity to the original languages was just something that we must appreciate. The third one, of course, had a totally different thinking, and he was like, the New Living Translation is up to date, it's easy to read, we don't have to struggle over big words and things like that. So the fourth guy was thinking for a while and said, well, I think I like my mother's translation best. So, of course, everybody turned around and stared at the guy. He's like, what? Your mother was a Bible translator? Where did she serve? Was it with, you know, and then the questions all came. Was it with Wycliffe? Was it with Bible Society? And everybody got very excited. But the fourth pastor just explained, well, it's actually because my mother translated the Bible into life. My mom translated the Bible into life. And it was the most convincing translation I ever saw. So, my dear friends, brothers and sisters, today we celebrate with many people all over the world the occasion of Mother's Day, a day of honoring and celebrating motherhood, as well as a day to recognize the contributions that mothers and mother figures, such as mentors, make to the lives of their children as they translate the Bible into life and therefore being a blessing to them. So if you're able to, I want to invite you to stand and join me in prayer. Come, let's stand if you're able to. God, our Heavenly Father, as we ponder your word today, we want to ask your Holy Spirit, Lord, to write the truth of this passage on our hearts. Illumine our hearts, Lord, so that we would understand, apply, and even be able to live it wholeheartedly. And so, Father in heaven, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. And so if you turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1 from verse 5, in this passage, the Apostle Paul recalls Timothy's sincere faith and reminds Timothy that his faith first lived in his grandmother Lois and in his mother Eunice. Today I want to focus on the faith of Timothy's mother, Eunice and her mother, Louis. And the first thing I want to encourage us to do is to pay attention to the reality of their faith. Notice how Paul describes their faith. Paul uses the word sincere. Now, I know that often, you know, we sign off our letters as yours sincerely. But here, I believe Paul takes it even further. I am reminded of your sincere faith. The word sincere here, of course, means genuine, without hypocrisy, without dishonesty. In the old King James Version, the word used is even unfeigned, unfeigned, which means without giving pretense, without giving a false appearance. And this is vital, I believe, for us to remember, because Grandma Lewis and Mum Eunice had a genuine, true, sincere faith, a faith that wasn't put on. Their faith was not an act. Their faith was not the sort of faith that looks good on Sunday when we come to church, but then on Monday to Saturday, you have a totally different sort of thing altogether. And of all people, our families see that most clearly. Our spouses and our children, the truth is, and I believe you know that, they see through our pretenses. So you know, we just had our ACM recently because we just installed our new EDC. And because my daughter is overseas on studies, she was placed on our inactive list. But when the notices of the ACM came out, she was quite curious about the process. And so she asked a very interesting question. She said, if she was here, as in Singapore, on the active list, should she vote for me or not? I was a bit like, how do I answer that question? So when you are put in a bit of a fix, right, you always pray. You ask the Lord for wisdom. And I told her, I said, I think it totally depends on whether you consider your dad suitable to serve as a pastor. And this piqued her interest because she was wondering about whether there was any sort of, you know, conflict of interest and that sort of thing because she is family. And so I replied her and I said, I'm sharing with you, and I'm sharing this with all of us here today, with humility and a little bit of trepidation, but I think it is pertinent to the topic of authenticity of our faith. So I told Faith that because you are my daughter, right, so besides your mom, you and your brothers are the only ones in all of PSPC who have an inside perspective to your dad. Actually, you have a insider perspective that even the entire pastoral team, including senior minister, does not have, because thankfully I don't live with him. So he doesn't get to see my, you know what lah. So I told her, you and your brothers and your mom have the inside perspective to your dad. You actually know, compared to the whole of PSPC, you know whether he is godly, and if you want to know what your criteria are, use the matrix that is spelled out in 1 Timothy chapter 3. And I concluded, I said, if I failed you all as husband or as father, then this is what you need to do. You need to vote no. But more than voting no, you should call senior minister up, or you should write him an email, and you should tell him that it is a mistake to call that for the ministry. If you have seen that I have fallen short, and you use those criteria as found in 1 Timothy chapter 3, then it is your duty as a member of PSPC to let the session know what's going on at home. And my brothers and sisters, I believe that is the importance of the reality of our faith. Because the truth is, we cannot pretend or fake it, neither should we try. In our passage today, Grandma Lewis and Mum Eunice had a genuine faith. And because they had a genuine faith, they could pass that faith on to Timothy. That was Timothy's greatest blessing. And as I was thinking of this message, a song by Laura Story came to mind. And she sang, and I'm not going to do it, "I want to give you faith. I want to give you hope. I want to leave you hope that you would know a love that never lets you go. More than wisdom or wealth, more than happiness or health, may you say, I gave you faith. May you say that my genuine faith," and genuine faith doesn't mean we don't make mistakes, "but my genuine faith is a blessing to you and passes on that faith." In addition to the reality of their faith, we also pay attention to the responsibility of their faith. As genuine and sincere disciples of our Lord Jesus, whose faith are real, we have responsibilities. Well, what are these responsibilities? If you turn to chapter 3 of the same book and look at verses 14 to 15, you find that Timothy was exhorted to continue in what he had learned and believed, because he was taught the word of God from his childhood. Grandma Lewis and Mum Eunice, as genuine and sincere disciples whose faith were real, knew the importance of teaching the word of God to Timothy if they wanted him to grow in his faith in God and to grow in his knowledge of God's word. No wonder then a vital part of John Calvin's teaching was the insistence that parents were responsible to read and teach the scriptures to their children, and of course to obey and apply the scriptures to ourselves, because the truth is, and I believe all of us know this, the dictum that says, "Do what I tell you, but do not do what I do," never really worked in school, doesn't work in the workplace, and it certainly does not work at home. Do we want our children to be blessed? I want to encourage you, my brothers and sisters, live out a genuine faith in Christ. Teach them the centrality of God's word. Read God's word together. Teach the scriptures, obey God's word together as a family, genuinely with heartfelt faith. Love Christ, love neighbor. In other words, translate the Bible into life. So I was recalling a thoughtful poem from one of the Our Daily Bread devotionals, but this was from some time back. And I thought it was very interesting that this poem says, "Blessed is the household where honesty reigns, where dad and mom practice the truth. Blessed are the children whom God leads and trains and are taught his word from their youth." So today is a day that we set aside for honoring our mothers. And I believe the best way any one of us could honor our mothers is to live godly lives ourselves. Because in a way, that is how we are living out that translation, that Bible translation into life that our moms have taught us. But the truth is that we all fall short. I fall short. and as sinners saved by grace on this side of heaven, we are still living in the so-called already but not yet. And so our experience will be that, unfortunately, some mothers sadly hurt us. Others may have failed us, mostly unintentionally, but basically because of the fallenness of this world. And sometimes we also hurt our mothers. The world is broken, and relationships between nations, states, communities, families, and even individuals are broken. Because although sin has been defeated at the cross, sin still remains to be fought. And so through the Spirit, by faith, we are exhorted to eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. Because Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, assures us that surely, one day, He is coming soon. One day, He is coming soon. And so in this already but not yet age, God has provided us a help in this broken and hurting world. And she is called the church. As John Calvin, citing Cyprian of Carthage, put it, "For those to whom he is father, the church may also be mother." Because we are fallen human beings, the instrument which God provides to help us in our journey of sanctification, in that journey as we grow in holiness, the instrument which God has provided us is that of the church as our mother. Just as our physical mothers gave us life, nourished and nurtured us as children, so the church gives us spiritual life, nourished and nurtures us to godliness as God's children. And as we have received forgiveness and salvation through Jesus Christ, we are channels of blessing and forgiveness and salvation to the world, translating Bible into life. And I believe this is even more important in this day and age because of the brokenness of the world, because of the brokenness of the world system around us. Because of sin, the created world itself is in bondage to corruption, death, and decay. And I would suggest that this is glaringly painful, even more so, in the realm of a good gift that God has given us. What is that realm? That is the realm of physical intimacy, which is meant in God's design to be enjoyed and still protected within the sanctity of the covenant of marriage between man and woman. So last year in November, we all know that the Parliament in Singapore repealed Section 377A of the Penal Code. And at the same time, thankfully, they endorsed changes to the Constitution to protect the current definition of marriage being a union between a man and a woman. And this, of course, is a positive move from the government. But perhaps we also want to give thanks to the Lord because somehow in His plan, the debate surrounding the repeal of 377A has brought to the forefront of our national consciousness, especially for those of us who have not been paying attention to these things, the discussion of the issues of gender identity and gender dysphoria and so on and so forth. So what has it got to do with our topic today, some of us might be asking. I believe this is totally pertinent to the role of the church as mother. for such a time as this. Why? Because just as it takes a village to bring up a child, all the more so it takes a church to nourish and nurture us to maturity in faith and to encourage us when we are down, to sustain us, to run the race, to finish the race in that long marathon, which is the Christian faith. So what has the church to do with issues of gender identity and gender dysphoria? A lot, because at the heart of these issues, one needs to remember that gender is but one aspect of personhood. Just as ethnicity, or financial status, or the various intelligences, there is a far more holistic identity which each one of us has. And the way God views us needs to be remembered. And that is in the context of the church. The way God views us is far more than fat or thin or tall or short or Chinese or Indian or any other parameter that we can think of. God views us as a little lower than the angels, but crowned with glory and honor, fearfully and wonderfully made, and even more. So practically, what does this mean for PSBC? I think it bears stating that our church, PSBC, is not a homophobic church. Okay? Can we get that out there? We do uphold biblical sexuality as taught in God's Word, that is the only sexual relationship sanctioned by God and given as a beautiful gift from God is between a man and a woman in a monogamous marriage. But on the other hand, we do not discriminate against people that are struggling with gender identity, gender dysphoria, and maybe just in case we all need to be on the same page, gender identity usually refers to the LGBT part of the scene, and gender dysphoria refers to that state of dissatisfaction or uneasiness with one's own biological sex. Secondly, we recognize that these issues of struggling with gender identity, gender dysphoria, or same-sex attraction is actually the result of a broken world. They are a reflection of things not being as they were originally intended to be as God created it. And so, like all matters of suffering, it is, on the one hand, not a surprise to God. On the other hand, God tells us that He is in the process of redeeming it. But as much as we are now presently living in the already but not yet, all of us struggle with things not being as they were originally intended to be. And maybe one more neutral topic will be the topic of death. After serving in pastoral ministry for a number of years, the truth is my heart still aches. And no, so far, not heart attack, right? But so far, my heart still aches with pain whenever I have to conduct a funeral. Maybe it doesn't show on my face, but my heart aches with pain whenever I have to conduct a funeral because I know that death was not meant to be. In God's good intent, death was never meant to be. Death came about as a result of the fall. Death is a result of the brokenness of this world. But as we struggle, we also ask God's truth to illumine the distress and the pain, as we ask God to show us the beauty of His light. But as with all human struggle, before any struggler can see the beauty of the light of Jesus, before the struggle can see the beauty of God's light, we as God's people must first learn to sit with them in the darkness. Not necessarily for advice giving, not necessarily for problem solving, but we need to learn to sit with people in that Saturday between Good Friday and Easter Sunday. In their pain, they need us to walk with them, to sit with them. And this is biblical. As Isaiah declared, in all his people's distress, he too was distressed. So in the reality of our faith, in the authenticity of our faith, we share with compassion the gospel of Jesus Christ, because all people need the Lord. All of us, regardless of whether on the one hand we are heterosexual, or somebody is homosexual, or people experiencing gender dysphoria, all of us need Jesus as Savior of our sinful, offensive life. We need Jesus as Lord, not endorser of greed, not endorser of sloth, not endorser of our own choice of lifestyle. We need Jesus as Lord of all of our life, the entirety of our life. Which then leads us to our fourth point, which is the responsibility of our faith. In PSPC, we welcome all who need the Lord. We need the Lord in all of our lives. And all of us, at one point or another, will probably need help. You, my dear congregation, you know that I, your pastor, needed help at a certain point. And if you've forgotten, well, it's because I shared this from this pulpit some years ago. At a certain point in our lives, my wife and I actually had to go for couple therapy because we were struggling with certain things that we couldn't get past. But the truth is, at the end of the day, as much as at the beginning I faced it with a bit of fear and trepidation, at the end of the day, I know that I needed it. At the end of the day, I'm not ashamed, because I am glad and I am so thankful for the redemption and repair that God, our Heavenly Father, gave us as a result of the help that we received. So here's an offer, right, for everybody. I'm not singling anybody out, but if you want help, do speak to our pastors or our elders about it. We will endeavor to walk with you. We will endeavor to journey with you. And we will keep your confidence while we get the help that we need together. Because at the end of the day, the truth is, we too are sinners saved by grace. We all are sinners saved by grace. So on Mother's Day, we celebrate and honor motherhood, recognizing the contributions and the blessings of mothers and mother figures. Because of the reality of their faith, because of their responsibility of their faith, because of the way they translate the Bible into life, we are blessed. In the Bible, we find that Timothy was greatly blessed by Grandma Lewis and Mom Eunice by their faith. And we too are greatly blessed by our own godly mothers and our own mother figures. Let us love and honor them. But this Sunday, we are reminded in addition that we actually have the church as mother. And that is such a privilege. Because the church as mother is what we all need as God's children to nourish, to nurture, and to encourage us. Because we are all strugglers in a broken world, in a world where things are not what they were intended by God to be. And it is a world that we should not need to struggle alone. Because we struggle in an already but not yet world between the first coming of Jesus as Savior and the second coming of Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we should not need to struggle alone. And in this struggle, the church as mother plays a pivotal and vital role for all of us who struggle, for all of us to seek help in, for all of us to be encouraged by the testimonies of those who have experienced God's intervention in our lives, so that all of us, as God's children, may grow together in godliness and ourselves learning to translate the Bible into life. Amen. Would you please stand and let us pray together. God, our Heavenly Father, in your goodness, you have given us mothers. And Lord, we want to thank you for the reality of their faith. Father, we want to thank you for the responsibility of their faith, for the way that each one of them translates the Bible into life. But God, our Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, that you would touch our hearts with your Spirit, Lord. Revive us, Lord, with your passion once again, so that we may reflect your love and your grace as we care for one another in your church. So help us, Lord, from this day forth to learn to have each other's back, to assure each other that we are not alone, to support, encourage, nourish, and nurture each other, that together as your church, we might all run the race and fight the good fight of the faith together. And all this, for your glorious sake. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please remain standing for the hymn of response.